This is Out and About on Peoria Public Radio. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Jen Gordon with Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Today we're talking with Dr. John Jost. He's here to tell us more about the upcoming performance of Verdi's Requiem by the Bradley Community Chorus, Bradley Chorale, and the Bradley Symphony Orchestra. Dr. Jost, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for allowing me to be here.
Now, most of the time when people hear the name Verdi, they think of his famous operas, La Traviata and Rigoletto, and some people might even be unaware that he did venture into this art form of the mass. Can you give us some historical context of maybe what took him away from the opera and into this art form?
Yes, this was, well, he wrote this Requiem Mass in 1874, and Aida was first premiered in 1871. And he had had this run of very, very successful operas, and he just kind of got tired of writing opera and kind of semi-retired and wasn't intending to necessarily do any more writing at all. He had been approached to write a mass in remembrance of Rossini, another great opera composer who had just died, and it was to be a collective effort. He was to write the last movement of it, and all the other composers were to write other movements, and it never materialized. But he had this last movement. And then when the great Italian author Manzoni died, who was Verdi's hero, he decided to write a requiem himself in honor, in tribute to this man, died in 1873, and he finished this requiem in 1874, and only wrote a couple of operas after that. So he was 61 when he wrote it, definitely in his maturity. And it is very much like an opera. It is extremely emotional, extremely dramatic. And you can tell this is an opera composer writing this piece. That even caused some consternation among some of the church authorities.
You had said that this Requiem shows Verdi's background as an opera composer. I mean, in what ways is it more operatic? Is it more melodic? Does it use the soloists differently? I mean, how does Verdi's background as an operatic composer show in this piece?
Well, I think a lot of it is he uses music kind of to set the stage. The very beginning, instead of the choir just singing, you have this melody in the orchestra, and the choir is just chanting the words Requiem. And you get this sense that this is a funeral procession or monks chanting or something. It's very evocative. There's nothing that's just setting words. And then they suddenly break into a hymn of praise, Te Decit Imnus, a hymn, Lord, we sing to you in Zion. And these kind of sudden breaks, you feel like the curtain is going up or the lights are coming up or something. It's very kind of visual, even though it's musical. And the range of emotion in this work is just huge. You go from sudden louds to sudden softs. If you're listening to it in your car, you're constantly fiddling with the dial because it's so loud you have to turn it down and then you can't hear it at all. It's just a lot of contrast, a lot of, well, drama. It's late romantic, and he doesn't pull any punches. Or I should say he pulls out all the stops. I suppose that would be a little more accurate.
Yeah, I've sung other settings of the Requiem and the Mass. And while it's not unusual in other settings for one movement, say, to be very boisterous and another movement to be very solemn, compared to those, the Verdi does a lot more. It does a lot more changing midstream in the middle of, say,
that's
a credo.
Right.
It will turn on a dime in its dynamics and its intensity in a way that I think other settings don't.
That's right. I think this is why choral singers absolutely love to sing this piece. It gives them so many opportunities to be expressive, I think, more than almost any other choral orchestral piece that I know.
And this is a piece that musicians do aspire to be a part of at some point, whether they're in the orchestra or in the choir. It doesn't get performed every year. It takes a lot of effort to put it together, and it's quite demanding on both the soloists and the musicians. Can you just walk us through the range of participants that you have involved with the project?
Well, we have the Bradley Chorale, which is the Bradley student touring choir. We're about 45 persons altogether, then the Bradley Community Chorus, which is about 80 some. And I have to say this year it is a very strong group. And those two groups together, we've got about few singers sing in both groups, but we've got maybe 120 altogether. And then the Bradley Orchestra, which is much larger than it used to be when I was in charge of it 20 years ago. And it's one of the reasons why we are performing at St. Mary's Cathedral. We usually do our concerts in Dingeldine Music Center, but it's just too big. We can't fit. So we're at the cathedral, which has been remodeled. A lot of work they've done. They spent a whole year kind of fixing up and doing some new construction and replacing carpet with marble. Mm. And it's just an absolutely beautiful cathedral and extremely resonant, just the perfect place. So I kind of consider the cathedral one of the participants, along with the choirs and the orchestra, that will help kind of increase the power of this music, the impact.
And can you tell us about the soloists as well?
Yeah, the soloists, they're mostly people that I've worked with before. The tenor soloist is Eric Ashcraft, who is a Bradley graduate, and he has sung here many times, and he's really looking forward to this. This is one of his sort of key pieces in his repertoire. Plus, he has a lot of history with St. Mary's Cathedral. And the bass, John Hines, wonderful deep bass from University of Northern Iowa. Mezzo-soprano is from Luther College. She teaches there, Jill Phillips. And the soprano, Penelope Shoemate, is from Western Illinois University. She's on the faculty there. And she does a lot of singing in New York, and she has sung this piece many times. She's kind of on the roster of Carnegie Hall and some other places, so she's very experienced in singing this piece. And if you come and hear this, you'll know that the soloists are extremely important in this particular work. They're not just kind of on the sidelines.
In getting this concert ready, you're dealing with two different choral ensembles that you're bringing together, along with the orchestra and the soloist. It would seem to me that it's a lot like trying to direct three or four trains and get them all into the same station at the same time, because obviously by the performance day, you want all of those ensembles to be fully prepared individually, but then also be ready to come together as this massive performing unit.
Yeah, that's exactly true. And the trains are all starting in different places at different times. And it is kind of a miracle that they all end up at the same place at the right time. But the choirs have been practicing all semester. The orchestra, I'm very thankful to the director, Dr. Timothy Semenik. They just gave a concert a couple of weeks ago, but now they're focusing on this piece. And then the soloists, of course, have done their own preparation. They'll arrive altogether. We have two big rehearsals at the cathedral, and only the last rehearsal actually has the soloists. So that's the one time when we get to hear everybody doing everything before the concert. So it makes it very exciting for me, because I kind of don't know always what's going to happen.
And is that something that you as a conductor, the more you conduct, the better you're able to predict that, and the better you're able to fine-tune that in that last rehearsal? That you don't need all of your forces together for three rehearsals, because you're better able to predict where, you know, what everyone's going to sound like, where everyone's going to be.
I sure hope that's true. It's supposed to be true. And I mean, I have had a lot of experience, but that's the excitement of a live concert. It's not pre-recorded. You can't edit. And whatever happens, if you get into a jam, you got to get out of it. We don't anticipate that, but that is part of the excitement of live anything, music, theater.
Talk a little bit about the venue, St. Mary's Cathedral. I know the chorale has performed there before, and I've always thought that's a fantastic space for sacred music, even before the renovations that you were talking about earlier.
Yes, the orchestra and community chorus usually perform there every fall. We've done that maybe for the last 6 or 7 years, and they've been very generous to allow us to use that space. But most of these pieces that we've done are, you know, they come from Europe, and the churches and the cathedrals in Europe are ideal for this kind of music. There's a lot of resonance when you perform in a very dry space, a dry concert hall or something. It's very hard to get that same, you could call it an echo or just, but resonance that that makes the music, it just adds power and strength to the music. And besides, St. Mary's, like these churches and cathedrals in Europe, is just such a beautiful setting. You can just sit there and look at the windows or the ceiling or the tile on the floor and just, I think even that enhances the power of the music.
What would you say to listeners who perhaps have never taken the time to go and experience a sacred choral music concert? Is there something particularly about Verdi's Requiem that could be a good point of entrance for them to experience this art form for perhaps the first time?
Well, I think so. For one thing, the text is also very dramatic, and we have a translation of it in the program, so you don't have to just be hearing strange Latin without having any idea what it means. I think especially people who may have lost a loved one, you know, in recent years, just hearing these words of comfort, they're not all words of comfort. There's some pretty terrifying passages as well. But just to hear this kind of beauty expressed in connection with the whole process of death is an experience in itself. But I think there's enough in this, enough exciting going on that even a person who is not used to classical music would, I think, be quite affected by this piece.
We've been talking with John Jost from the Bradley University Music Department. He's conducting the Bradley Community Chorus, Bradley Chorale, and Bradley Symphony Orchestra in a performance of the Verdi Requiem. That concert is next Sunday, November 20th at 4 o'clock at St. Mary's Cathedral in Peoria. Dr. Jost, thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you very much for allowing me to come here.
Opening tonight at Peoria Players Theater, the regional premiere of A Christmas Story, the musical. Based on the 1983 movie, the show follows the story of young Ralphie and his Christmas dream of owning a Red Ryder BB gun. The play runs through next weekend. For tickets and more information, visit peoriaplayers.org or call 688-4473.
And Illinois Central College is opening its production of Murder at Cafe Noir. It's a send-up of familiar film noir types and tropes. The show also has opportunities for interaction when the audience gets to vote on the protagonist's course of action. Performances run through next Sunday at the ICC Performing Arts Center in East Peoria.
Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers.
You can learn more about Peoria Public Radio when you visit our website, peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin, and this is Out and About.